Hello and welcome to the Rufus Project mini podcast, your fortnightly guide to whatever geek and pop culture stuff is grabbing our attention at the time. I'm your host Trevor Holland, and you will soon be hearing from my good friend, co-host and king of cult cinema in Brisbane, Christian Fletcher. But what do we have in store for you in this particular podcast? First up, I'm going to revisit a section I haven't gone to for a while and have a look at a game you must play. One in particular that's seeing a re-release 8 years after its original release. Christian will then have a look at the work of one of his favourite directors who coincidentally is celebrating his 70th birthday this year. We'll also have a list of Christian's upcoming events, as well as more information about our next redeeming features cast. In the meantime though, sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. I know it's been a while since I've done a game you must play. However, with the impending release of the remaster of an 8-year-old PlayStation 3 game, I thought it was about time to revisit this and see why it would be worthy to remake and remaster a PlayStation 3 game from 8 years ago. I am talking about Valkyria Chronicles. Valkyria Chronicles came out with a fair amount of fanfare, a lot of positive reviews, but ended up doing very, very poorly on the PlayStation 3 system. It didn't stop it having two sequels on the PlayStation Portable system, only one of which actually got Western release, and people have been screaming for a Western version of Valkyria Chronicles 3 for ages for the now obsolete handheld. But that original game still seems to hold a fascination. It actually got re-released last year on PC through the Steam service, and did moderately well. It was a very faithful port of the original PS3 version, and played quite well, which is actually quite a novelty when you are porting console games to PC. So I guess with the success of the PC version, and number 4 in the series coming to PlayStation 4s around the world later this year, I guess I thought it was time to let more people revisit the original on a console. So what is Valkyria Chronicles? Valkyria Chronicles is set in the country of Gallia, in the fictional continent of Europa. Now, this is very loosely based on World War II, where the two sides of a big war decide to both invade the small neutral country because it has an abundance of Ragnite, which is the, well, basically is petroleum in the game world, let's face it. The player ends up taking control of a unit of the Gallian militia, and as you progress through the game, your unit, and particularly its leaders, who are the main characters of the game, take a much more prominent role in not only the defense of Gallia, but the outcome of the overall war. What sets it apart from other adventure-type titles is the fact that it's actually very, very tactical. Battles are played out in a semi-turn-based system, where each character and each member of the squad and the enemy squad take turns to move and place themselves on the battlefield and attack as required. You still need some care because whilst you're moving, the enemy can still fire upon your character, and they can also shoot back at you after you attack. So strategy, positioning is really, really important, but it does it without bogging you down. This isn't some sort of highly technical military simulator, aka, say, Hearts of Iron. It remains very accessible. It also gives extra depth with regards to the interplay between the characters. This is set based loosely around World War II, and so there is a particular race of characters called the Darksen, who in no way are oppressed as, say, other races have been within our own history. Trying to be tactful here, basically they're the Jews and they get discriminated against quite a lot. And it's not just the bad guys. You have Darksen troops within your unit, and there are other characters within the unit who do not trust the Dachshund. And it's this interplay. You've got characters that actually work better or worse depending on who else is in the squad, so that itself also becomes quite a balancing act. On top of all that, you've got your various classes. You've got your scout, who is quite mobile, doesn't have much firepower. You've got your shock troopers, who are kind of like in between. They've got more firepower, they're not quite as mobile. You've got your lancers, who are essentially your heavies. They've got the sort of weapons that can take down tanks. And yes, you do have to take down tanks. You've got your sniper, self-explanatory. And then you've got your healing and engineering class, who can heal troops and fix your own tank. But it's not all war, death, and destruction. There is a bit of an RPG element, as you need to develop your characters as you go along. One great advantage is that you actually develop classes. So if you've got a bunch of scouts and shock troopers and a whole pile of different characters, you're not just going to get benefit from using one all the time. When you develop one scout, you're actually developing the entire class. And that, of course, goes through to the other character classes. The story itself is told quite cleverly through essentially a history book, and you actually work your way through the history book, and cutscenes and actual action become chapters within this book. It certainly helps with the sense of progression, not only of your character's development, but also the story itself. The most striking thing about this, however, is the artwork. The game has been produced in such a way that even the actual in-game scenes, and not just cutscenes, appear to be animated pencil drawings. It is quite spectacular, and I tell you the truth, I am really looking forward to seeing how that looks in 1080p being played on a PlayStation 4. My guess is it's going to look mouth-wateringly good. If you have a PlayStation 3, you should be able to pick up the PlayStation 3 version quite cheaply. I've often seen it in bargain bins. Like I said, it never sold well, so it's now pretty cheap across the board. You can get it very cheaply for Steam if you have a shop around and look at the various deals out there. And I'm hoping that the PS4 version will certainly come out at a discount price, because while it is good, it is still an 8-year-old game. And essentially is coming out to promote the big number 4 a bit later in the year. One final point about Valkyria Chronicles is that I'm not a big fan of war games. So for me to be recommending this, I guess, is an extra little bonus, since its gameplay, story elements, and presentation really do lift it into a whole new category. So however you decide to get your hands on this, Valkyria Chronicles is definitely a game you must play.
Pope of Trash, the Sultan of Sleaze, the Prince of Puke, John Waters has been called everything under the sun since his iconic 1972 debut with Pink Flamingos on the big screen, especially on the midnight circuit in New York. This launched the name of quite an offbeat underground director who would go on to direct a lot of other infamous movies such as Polyester, Female Trouble, Crybaby from 1990, which essentially launched the career of Johnny Depp, and the film Hairspray from 1988, starring Ricky Lake, Debbie Harry, and Sonny Bono. This was the movie which inspired the Broadway musical and the subsequent remake with John Travolta and Michelle Pfeiffer in 2007. So John Waters has been able to cross over a little bit to the mainstream. You can definitely see two distinct periods in his work. We're really excited with the John Waters Trash Movie Fest, which is coming up to celebrate his 70th birthday, that we're able to show a good cross-section of the movies. Now, Divine, the 300-pound transvestite, or whatever name you want to use, John Waters' muse, which appeared in a lot of his earlier films and right up until Hairspray in 88. I'm excited to say this is a Divine weekend, because all three movies we will be screening over the course of the retrospective star divine in one way or another. And we've got Pink Flamingos from 1972, which, as mentioned, was the iconic movie, the one that sort of features Divine eating some kind of dog excrement, the mention of the Eggman, a lot of singing arseholes, let's just say you need to see the movie to understand that a bit more, and vomit bags will be given out to all people for this. If you don't really want to go the extreme John Waters, go the early 1988 Hairspray with the 60s Party, which is screening on Saturday the 16th of April at Fish Lane Studios, which is a part of the Fox Hotel in South Brisbane. Now, the Fish Lane Studio will be converted into the ultimate John Waters themed space with posters, artwork, interactive exhibits, and even a lipstick beauty salon in memory of the 1974 movie Female Trouble. Oh my god, there's just so many movies that we would have liked to have fit under the banner of the festival, but I'm glad that we've got Pink Flamingos and Hairspray on this particular night. The following night, on Sunday the 17th of April, at New Farm Cinemas, we have Polyester from 1981. Now, this stars Divine alongside 50s heartthrob Tab Hunter. Now, this comedy was screened originally in Odorama, which means that it was John Waters' own version of Smell-O-Vision, so everyone receives an Odorama card on arrival, which acts as a scratch-and-sniff card to participate with the movie. I'm very happy to have tracked down enough Odorama cards to do an entire screening, so we will be able to give people the experience that audiences would have had in 1981. And hey, Polyester is a really good sign of showing John Waters just before he crossed over to the mainstream after doing such underground works as Desperate Living and Female Trouble. For more details about the John Waters Movie Fest, and hey, I'm always up for a chat about John Waters, head to my website, which is christianfletcher.com, and stick around for the end of the podcast to hear about some of my upcoming events. I'm excited to discuss my upcoming events. In a lot of cases, you hear it here first on the Rufus Project. The Milk Factory, which is located in South Brisbane, is essentially an old milk factory, has been converted into a pub, and we're excited to be launching cult movie nights there monthly, which kicks off on the 20th of April. I'm launching with a favourite, the 1990 live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Hey, tickets are only $5, and you get there early, you might be able to grab a slice of pizza and a drink before the movie. This will be continuing each month. I'm locking you up for a few nights in the next couple of months, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to Boggo Road Jail for some prison movie nights. We're kicking off on the 29th of April with a screening of the 1963 Steve McQueen classic, The Great Escape. Imagine seeing a movie about prisoners trying to escape a prison. In a prison. This will include pre-movie night markets, jail art, and a prison tour. Now, if you want just the movie on its own, it's $15, but why not just do it as a whole night package, which includes the tour and the markets, which is $35 per person. Details are available at boggoroadjail.com.au. And coming up, we've got such movies as Brubaker with Robert Redford from 1980, Miller's Crossing, the Coen Brothers cult classic, and the Stephen King adaptation, Shawshank Redemption, which will guaranteed pack the place out. We're going back to our video parties. I've been having a break from these for a few months, but the 90s music video party is always popular. Saturday the 30th of April, tickets are $12 per person, and actually $12 gets you and a friend in for free. So we recommend you pre-book for that, or tickets will be available at the door. Dance the night away with over 3 hours of your favourite 90s music videos on the big screen. I know myself and another member of the podcast will be excited to talk about B-Movies Live in the next couple of podcasts. This will be taking place on May 12th, running through until the 21st. Now, essentially, this is a group of actors bringing a classic B-grade movie to life with scripts, sound effects, props, and costumes. Tickets are now available at anywheretheatrefest.com, but as mentioned, we will be chatting about that in further episodes of The Rufus Project. Some Like It Hot will be hitting the big screen at New Farm Cinemas on the 28th of May, and that will take place as part of a 20s jazz afternoon with live performances and music. So tickets are already selling fast for that, so head to newfarmcinemas.com.au. We mentioned video parties. I'm going to start focusing on some other artists. We've got all the video clips of Kylie Minogue on Friday the 3rd of June at New Globe Theatre. Now, that kicks off at 8 o'clock and goes right through until midnight, and tickets are $10 per person for that. Coming up, we have retrospectives for Michael Jackson, Kate Bush, and of course, the 11th annual Brisbane Madonna Party, which is Australia's biggest and longest running Madonna Party. For more details about my upcoming events, visit www.christianfletcher.com or find Christian Fletcher Events on Facebook. I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thank you so much for listening to The Rufus Project. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed putting it together. And we would love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us with your suggestions, your feedback, your requests, whatever. Just send us a line to therufusproject@gmail.com. Head to rufusproject.com and leave a comment below this very episode. You can find The Rufus Project on Twitter and Facebook super duper easily. And we would love to hear from you. If you have found this podcast through iTunes, please rate and review us on iTunes just to help us get a few more listeners. That would be cool of you. Of course, this mini episode is not the entirety of The Rufus Project. We will be back next week with our Rufus Project Redeeming Features cast, this time featuring the Robin Williams movie Toys from 1992. Here's a little taste of what we've subjected ourselves to.
I'm Leslie Zebo.
I know.
As Robin Williams.
I'm in the mood for smoked chicken. How about you?
We have a tradition of whimsy here at Zebo Toys.
I don't understand why Daddy let Uncle Leland take over Zebo Toys.
And Academy Award-winning director Barry Levinson.
I'm noodling with the idea of putting in some war toys.
You've never made war toys at Zebo.
Take you to a place where laughter is a state of mind.
Oh, it's a quick egg, isn't it? Maybe they really are deviled eggs.
Huevo de Diablo. Save yourself. Get away.
This one promises to be interesting. Now, I know we normally finish with a moral for each podcast, but I thought this time I'd finish with a quote. A quote that I think Christian should have mentioned earlier, but somehow missed. A quote from his favourite director, John Waters, that he said just this year when he heard about the 70th birthday extravaganza being played. John Waters said, and I quote, "Christian Fletcher is like an ambassador of cult movies." Awesome work, Christian. That's just magical. See you all next time.